This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Round of 64 is underway. We got a couple of games going on. We got the tournament all afternoon and all night. And we got Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app, not to mention the iHeartRadio app and SiriusXM Channel 80. Chris Carlin, Joseph Fortenbaugh with you. What are we doing? We are updating everything going on right now. Let's hit the update.
NCAA tournament update.
All right, Joseph, we've got two games going on right now. We've got one that just reached a half with Michigan State and Mississippi State, and we've got Duquesne, BYU. You are ahead of me because I am on the internet watching, so fire away. Give me some scores.
31-24 Michigan State over Mississippi State at the half. This one looked like it was getting away from the Mississippi State Bulldogs in a hurry early. It just turns out both teams are taking turns being ice cold from the floor. It is not visually appealing basketball from a shooting perspective. We're at the half, Michigan State by 7. Duquesne out to a 17-10 lead over BYU. We're almost halfway through the first half. BYU couldn't buy a bucket for the first 8 minutes of this half. They've knocked down a couple threes. They brought it to within 7. Again, not necessarily visually appealing, but they're tightening it up. They're making it more competitive.
You know, it's amazing. We just discussed for a few minutes how these early games can just be rock fights. They can be ugly, and they're not visually appealing. And now we've got other people talking about expanding it to making it even bigger in the NCAA tournament.
More rock fights.
Oh, my God. Listen, there are changes that need to be made. I think we can agree on that, maybe to the process of who's getting in and who's not. But the idea of expansion is just absolutely silly. John Calipari, Kentucky head coach, on the tournament and why change not necessarily needed.
I hope it stays where it is. You know, I know people get mad. They get mad at the committee. You won't believe this. I've been mad at that committee a few times. But you may be mad because of your seed or where they shipped you to. But it doesn't matter who the committee is. We're all going to be upset. It's part of the NCAA tournament, not getting in, getting in. Bad seed, good seed. And I always say this, when you give a good team a bad seed, it's not them you're screwing. It's everybody they play that shouldn't have to play that team that early. And so it's part of what it is. Let's keep it. It's too good a thing.
Joe, it means too much right now to make the tournament. I don't want to just water that down. I don't want to make it 96. I don't want to make it 128. I want it to mean something to make the tournament because A, somebody's always going to feel jilted. And B, you know what? I like the fact that there's always a little bit of debate around it and somebody does feel jilted because ultimately it means that you had a really good season, but you weren't quite good enough. That adds the extra importance to the tournament.
What I may have missed something because this is the third or fourth time this has come up this week. Is someone actually pushing for expansion?
There have been many people who have been pushing for expansion. Just, you know.
And what's the reason?
The reason is that you can get the teams that deserve to be in to get in. And other reason is obviously adding more excitement, more television product, more money. And to me, that is making people pay for a watered down product.
I think the answer is probably just money, isn't it? Like the other stuff sounds
good. Of it's money ultimately.
It's all money. Okay.
But how you try to explain it is the other stuff.
Well, that's the thing though. The explanation doesn't make any sense to me. In college football, when we had, first of all, there was a time and era in college football where we didn't even have a championship game. Early 90s, Nebraska goes undefeated. Penn State goes undefeated. They can't play each other because Penn State's in the Big Ten. They're committed to the Rose Bowl against the Pac-10 at the time. And therefore, Nebraska goes and wins its game. Penn State blows out Oregon. It's just decided by a newspaper that Nebraska is now number one. And that's it. They win the title. That was an era we used to live in. Then we got a championship game, which actually mattered, thank God. And then we expanded to 4. And that was really cool. And now we're going to 12. But there was always a gripe. Like, we never had the game. Then we got to 2, and it's like, man, I don't know. This team that's number 3, you're really screwing them over. It doesn't make sense. And we've done the same thing with the 4-team era. I don't understand what the gripe is for team number 65. Like, what's the problem? Like, I can't believe we got left out. There's of what? that you weren't in the top 64. You got a great opportunity here. There are 64 available slots. Go earn one or get lost. I don't need an expansion just because there's no actual problem here. Now, if anyone comes out and says, look, we want to make more money, we're expanding, at least I can appreciate the honesty. I can appreciate the greed a little bit, and we can debate whether or not they should do that. But if the idea here is that we need to be more inclusive because some of these teams are really good and they're being left out unfairly, no. That's what happened in college football. No one's being left out unfairly here. The team that wins the title is not going to be the team that was on the 64-65 bubble. It's probably going to be a team that was a lock to get into this thing as soon as we got to December.
The other thing that people are going to complain about is the teams that get automatic bids by winning a conference tournament. So we had teams did not get in this year, felt like they got screwed. But you also had what you would call five bid stealers, five teams that were not expected to go win the conference tournament that did. Okay, it happens. It's part of the rules. Fluky year. Sorry it happened. Joe, I don't ever want to take away the automatic bid from those conferences that are smaller because that's everything. That's everything to them. You can't do that to them. And then, by the way, what makes the tournament great? The possibility that in the early rounds, we could end up seeing something that we've never seen before. I don't want to take that away.
No, I feel like this was born on Sports Talk, and for some reason we've been discussing. It just doesn't even feel real to me. It really doesn't. Yeah. I think we're pretty good where we're at. No one's really clamoring except for maybe, you know, like St. John's and Rick Pitino. Like, there's a little bit of a case, but you could have been better earlier in the season. You've got to reward conference champions because what's the point of winning a championship if there's no reward? Like, that's what we're doing here. We're setting you up in a conference. We're all going to play to see who the best person, best team of this respective group is. And when that happens, that team should get something from it. They shouldn't all get $5 million or whatever, but like something should happen. If there's a huge tournament at the end of the year, hey, they should get into that huge tournament with a chance to go against the other champions, right? Let's take all the champions, what a novel idea this is, and put them together and see which of the champions is the best champion. But I just, the whole idea of expanding this outside of the money, it doesn't really make any sense. There's no need for it. The teams that are complaining, you've had every opportunity. It's not a 10-game season. Like, you're playing 30-plus games. You have months and multiple opportunities a week to go out there and make your case for spot number 62. If you can't make your case for spot number 62, I'm sorry, you're not getting in. We don't need to expand to accommodate you.
It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. We're going to help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. All right, let's get an update. What's going on? Hit it.
NCAA Tournament Update.
All right, Joseph, we've got one game at the half. We've got one game with about 8 minutes left in the first half. What do we got?
31-24 Michigan State at the half over Mississippi State. Duquesne, BYU getting interesting. The Cougars have finally found their stroke. 7.5 minutes to go in the first half. It's Duquesne 19, BYU 17.
The Michigan State game and Mississippi State, we're trying to play the over, so we need a little active second half here.
Bang.
That is the 8-9 game out west. And then the BYU game is the 6-11 game against Duquesne in the East region. Then later this hour, at the bottom of the hour, about 20 minutes from now, Creighton and Akron, that is the 3-14 game, Creighton the 3 seed in the Midwest region. It's Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio on Sirius XM Channel 80. Who says James Harden doesn't play defense? We found out that he does last night. We'll talk about it next on ESPN Radio, including on the iHeartRadio app.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
NCAA Tournament Update.
Day betting alert.
All right, here we go. Games tipping off in about 15 minutes. We're going to play Akron plus the 12 over Creighton. Love Creighton to make a deep run. I just don't necessarily like them at all to cover the 12 points in this game. Akron's a top 100 defense. They play at a very slow tempo. That's the recipe for covering a 12-point spread in a 40-minute game, especially when your opponent ranks below the national average in tempo as well. Keep in mind, when it comes to Creighton, 362nd in the country in turnovers forced. There's only 362 teams. They're literally dead last in turnovers forced. If you don't force any turnovers and you play slow and your opponent plays slow and your opponent has good defense, I like the idea of covering 12 points. Akron plus 12 over Creighton.
All right.
A huge night on the hardwood.
Off the floor, James! Hammers a right-hand dunk.
Let's get caught up with Carlin versus Joe's NB A to Z.
Boy, the Celtics, I tell you what, they just continue to rip through. Last night, they had to sweat it out a little bit, though. Hit it, Kesty.
Offensive rebound, Porzingis, and he flushes with two hands.
That was Kesty right here on ESPN Radio, 116-109. That made it Celtics on top in the fourth quarter against the Bucks. They win it 122-119, and they have clinched the division. Their magic number, Joe, to clinch the number one seed down to three. They have an 11-game lead over Milwaukee in the East.
Not a lot can be said that hasn't already been said about what this team has done during the regular season. I will give you a nugget here, okay? It is printing money to date, printing money if you bet on the Celtics against the spread in the first half of their games. This season, their record against the spread in the first half, 50-18-1. 50-18-1 against the first half number, up 28.75 units. They did it again last night. They didn't cover the full game spread because they let Milwaukee climb back into it, but they annihilated them in the first half.
Let me ask you something real quick on that front. If I was interested in playing that here the rest of the way, how concerned do you get about the Celtics having everything locked up here shortly and being able to continue to rely on that trend?
Definitely what you want to keep in mind as we move through. So far, they've continued to keep the foot down, but once they lock everything up, that brings down some of the motivation. And you also want to start taking advantage of paying attention to the minutes played. Are they going to start reducing minutes for starters? Are they going to start resting starters? Great question. All of that needs to be taken into account with something like this.
All right, next.
Here comes Harden for the Clips. Left corner, Leonard. A three ball. Hits the front of the rim.
Now, so that's a Kawhi Leonard miss. You're saying, why are you playing that? That's AM570 LA Sports. Off that feed from James Harden with the Clippers up 21 last night, Harden passed it to Leonard and then went out and closed out on Leonard as if he was on defense.
I thought you guys were
joking. Go look at it.
I thought you were joking when you showed me the highlight. Like, he's literally driving to the rack. Kawhi Leonard is wide open in the corner. Harden kind of makes it look like he's going to go for the layup, and then he kicks it out. He gets his guy a wide open look. But in a seamless flow, as he passes it, he just follows the pass out and kind of closes out on him and then starts running the other way. It's actually quite hilarious. The thing is, some might look at it and say, why would you do that to your teammate? You're not taking the game serious enough. I mean, you were blowing out the Portland Trailblazers at that moment.
And if you're Harden, you cost yourself an assist. Here's his explanation after the game.
Gotta bring some excitement to the team. You know what I mean? I think this last few weeks has been a fog for us, and I think every team goes through it. So I think just me just trying to create a good energy, create a great vibe for this team. And, maybe it would have been better if we had made the shot, but let's give something to laugh about. You know what I mean? Some excitement for this season.
Did you accomplish your mission?
Yeah, I did.
Where is he? A steamboat?
Exactly.
Where was that game played? Mississippi River?
Yeah, that was played in what they call a hum room. Where there's just nothing but a loud ambient noise in the background.
It was hilarious to see, and I mean, people will look at it and they'll talk about the idea, you got to take it more serious. I mean, that's what people think of you, Portland. Like, that's the most important thing to take away here if you're the Blazers.
Yeah.
You kind of are a joke to the point where when other teams play you, they don't take you all that serious. So if anyone's got a problem, take it up with the Trailblazers, because they weren't even close to competitive in that game.
If you're the coach of the Trailblazers today, I mean, that's exactly what you're doing. You're like, you're showing some tape. This is what everybody thinks of us.
Yeah.
116-103, by the way, was the final. Next.
Now a steal. Kuminga gets it right wing. Drives in. Left hand slam.
Hey, the Warriors playing and winning. What a nice little, I don't want to say change of pace, but continued peak and valley ride it's been for Golden State as Kuminga hits that three. Warriors win 137-116 over the Grizzlies. Steve Kerr said that was probably the best game that he has seen Kuminga play on both ends of the court last night.
He's definitely found another gear. It's taken a few years. The Warriors had those two high picks, and I think the top 14 the one year. They took Kuminga somewhere around 7. They took Moses Moody out of Arkansas, I believe, a few picks later. They were hoping these two would be ready to contribute earlier on, but they're young guys. It takes a while to learn the game in the NBA. It takes a while to learn how to be a professional in the NBA, how to travel on the road, how to handle your business, get your workouts in, treat the game the way it needs to be treated so that you can perform at the highest level. Kuminga looks like he's starting to pay off on that investment. The question is, what do the Warriors do moving forward? Like, is he going to be one of their core guys? Do they take him as his stock is ascending and trade him for a more known commodity that might be a little bit older? What's the plan here? Because you only have a few years left, tops, of Steph Curry in his prime. Tops. And you got to maximize that championship window. Kuminga could be a guy who helps, whether it's on the floor for you or in a trade for somebody else.
Next.
Allen for three. Got that one from the left corner and ties his career high with his ninth three of the night.
Grayson Allen, 9 threes on the evening. I believe that's the third time this season that he has done that. He also has had 8 threes at least in, I believe, now 8 games this year. Ridiculous. Here's the thing, Joe. I told this to you the other day. That was, by the way, Arizona Sports 98.7. Suns beat the Sixers 115-102. Getting ready for that game the other day, talking to Frank Vogel. He wants that team to be taking 40 threes a game. They took 39 last night, so they're getting there, but there's still a hesitation to it. Durant finished the game last night a little bit better, 22, 8 rebounds, 4 assists.
I hope they figure out whatever it is they're trying to do. It feels like there's way too much star power in Phoenix to not be involved in the playoffs to some serious extent. I'm not saying you need to make a conference finals, but it's Kevin Durant, it's Devin Booker, and it's Bradley Beal. You're telling me the best that can get you is the play-in? Like, last year, I understand late they were trying to put some things together. I understand early this season it was going to be a struggle as you learn to play with one another. That's all fine, but we're coming up on the end of the first full season together. Like, we got to see something from this. And defensively, they're a bit of a mess.
Let's go to the next one.
Holmgren leans in and floats a 5-footer and he nails. He has 35 now.
You know, Chet Holmgren is probably not getting enough credit this season. It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. That was 98-1, the sports animal in Oklahoma City. Chet Holmgren had 35-14 in, I guess, what you would call his true rookie season. SGA gets a lot of the attention. Chet Holmgren has been outstanding this season. First time a rookie has had 35, 10, 2 blocks, 2 steals in multiple games since David Robinson. in 89-90. Wow.
Absolutely great to see, because Holmgren, while classified a rookie, because this is the first year playing, was actually a rookie last year, but didn't play a single minute because he had the Liz Frank injury in his foot. And that was before the season started, and they shut him down and he didn't play at all. So you start to wonder, okay, one of these really tall, awkward body types, is this going to be a guy plagued by injuries throughout his career and we never get to see him shine? He never gets to break out at the NBA level? Because that's happened before. Guys like Greg Oden ring a bell. But this season, he has shown to be every bit as good as everybody who followed him in high school or college remembers and projected. And he's a big part of the reason why this OKC team is going to be a threat in the Western Conference. I love what OKC has built. I can't wait to watch them in the postseason.
Oh, by the way, SGA, his 50th 30-point game of the year.
I mean, he might not even come close to winning the MVP because Jokic is that good. Like, if there was no Jokic this season, we would spend way more time talking about SGA. But Jokic is just so damn good, we can't even get that guy into the conversation.
And finally, we check in with Miami.
Back to Jimmy for three. A laser goes in for Butler. His first take to make.
That was 560 QAM down in Miami. Jimmy Butler had 30 for the eighth time this year. Miami wins 107-104. How about Terry Rozier, who, not the most efficient player in the world, at 24, nine of which came in the last 90 seconds of the game, made the go-ahead three.
Shades of Tracy McGrady back in the day, that regular season game where he just went off in like the final 40 seconds and single-handedly won the game, knocking all those buckets down. Miami, I don't know what to think. There are nights you see him and you're like, yep, they'll figure it out, and then they'll come in into the playoffs and they'll be a very tough out. And then there are other nights where it's like, not this year. There are too many things wrong with this team. Not this year. I'm not a buyer right now. I'm not going to buy later. I'll just be proven wrong. So that's where we stand. It's one of those chicken you know what things to sit there and be like, I'll believe it when I see it. No, you got to stake a claim. And right now I'm going to tell you I don't think they're going to be a big threat in the East. But if they prove to do what the Heat have proven to do in previous years, I'll eat my words. I'll own up to it.
Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. That is NBA to Z. Let's get another tournament update.
NCAA tournament update.
All right, we got Michigan State, the 8-9 game against Mississippi State in the West right now, Joe. And we've got BYU and Duquesne. Give us some scores.
Update from the Michigan State showdown. They are back. We're 2 minutes into the second half. Michigan State 35, Mississippi State 29. Mississippi State was just going to the rack. I can't tell which player it was. But Michigan State with a thunderous block on the play. Player's still down, so they've stopped the game there. In the BYU game, I don't have the score in front of me. I'd love to give you the update.
I'll give it to you. Here's what I got. I got 31-21, 3:11 left first quarter, first half.
Just coming back from commercial now, so I'd have to imagine that is correct. BYU got
That's
tight.
Duquesne, by the way, on top, I should say.
Correct. BYU got tight, and then Duquesne went on a run. Like, this Cougars team cannot get out of its own way. This is as sloppy a performance as I've seen. They are 9.5-point favorites, down by 10 in a game where they can't buy a bucket right now.
Just about to get underway. Akron, the number 14 seed in the Midwest, taking on Creighton. And as part of our day betting situation, we are on Akron plus 12. Is that correct?
That is correct. We are taking Akron plus the 12.
It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. The domino we were all waiting for finally dropped. So what's next in terms of blockbusters in the NFL? We will tell you all about it after Joe has this from our friends at Grainger.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and the experience to answer all your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people even safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The NFL Draft on ESPN Radio.
It's time to have some fun.
Live from the heart of downtown Detroit.
This is the most fascinating NFL draft I've ever been associated with.
The Chicago Bears select
the NFL Draft, Thursday, April 25th on ESPN Radio, ESPN, and on ABC.
Hard to believe we're a little over a month away from that, but here we are. 5 weeks to be exact. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. We welcome in Bill Barnwell, ESPN senior NFL writer. If you want to get smarter about football, you listen to the Bill Barnwell Show podcast, available wherever you get your podcast. Bill, it's Chris and Joe. As usual, we appreciate your time. Let's get right into it, and we will start where we started with Mel last hour. How surprised were you that the Steelers basically made Russell Wilson the starter, even though they went out and got Justin Fields shortly thereafter?
I think it was smart, to be honest with you. You can always change your mind during the season, but I think living in that sort of gray area, the thing that Justin Fields, you know, was anxious about in Chicago, where he didn't know if he was going to get traded, didn't know if he was going to be the guy over the past few months. I think establishing, okay, this is what the hierarchy is going to be, and Justin Fields, you can win the starting job maybe, but you're going to have to come from the backup role as opposed to having a competition in camp. I think for two guys, neither of whom have a ton of credibility right now in terms of what they've done in recent years, I think it was probably the smart thing to do. Again, doesn't mean you can't change your mind. Justin Fields plays great. If Russell Wilson struggles in camp, I mean, we've heard plenty of coaches say, hey, you know, Josh Rosen is our guy or Matt Flynn is our guy, going back to Russell Wilson's rookie year. You can always change your mind if Justin Fields looks that much better in the preseason and into the beginning of the regular season.
How do you handle Fields from A, the fifth-year option standpoint? I believe the deadline on that is May 2nd, so they wouldn't have any idea where he is in the race against Russell Wilson then. Do you pick up that fifth year? And then as the season progresses, let's say Russ is playing slightly above average football and the Steelers are winning. Do you go through the course of the season without seeing what you have in Justin Fields?
I think if you're winning, you're fine. As long as you are winning games, and the Steelers, they manage to win games in the strangest of ways, as you guys know from the past couple of years. As long as they keep doing that Tomlin magic, it is fine. But if you're losing, I think that's the question. And with Justin Fields, I think we saw maybe something similar to what the Packers did this last offseason with Jordan Love, where they didn't guarantee him the fifth-year option. They had him sign a contract for less, and then some incentives were thrown in. You get some money up front. I could see the Steelers going to Justin Fields and saying, hey, we'll give you, you know, $5 million guaranteed for 2025, and then you can earn the rest with incentives if you are our starter that year. But sort of locking him in for another year where Russell Wilson maybe won't be on the roster, or maybe Justin Fields will have the chance to win the job over the next few months. I think this is a creative situation, and it will require a creative solution, but not impossible, and all sides could find something they want with maybe a short-term Justin Fields extension as opposed to the fifth-year option.
Carlin versus Joe with Bill Barnwell, ESPN, senior NFL writer, host of the Bill Barnwell Show podcast. Vikings went out, got the extra first-round pick last week. Bill, where do you sit on this? Do the Vikings, if they're going to be aggressive, have to find their way into the top three, or is getting to four good enough?
I think the four is good enough, but the thing I don't understand about this, guys, is they did half the job. This is the part I don't get about this trade. If the value they gave up, the second-round picks they gave up, by every draft chart I can find, worth more than the first-round pick they got in return. And that's fine. If you have a trade partner who says, hey, I want a first-round pick, and you have to get that to get this deal done, okay, trade for the first-round pick. But then you have to do that other deal. You have to move up as part of that trade, because now, if you're the Vikings, what's stopping the Cardinals, or what's stopping the Chargers, or even the Patriots at three, from saying, hey, yeah, we wanted the first-round pick, you need to give us more now. The Vikings are kind of, they're all in to make this move now, and if I was one of those other teams, I'd be raising the cost of this price, because we know the Vikings are desperate to get a deal done. So I certainly think they can get a quarterback at four. I don't think they have to get to Drake May. Don't have to get to three. If they can, great, but I think four is fine, but I would have needed to get that deal done in one fell swoop with two trades, as opposed to, you know, kind of getting half the job done and hoping we get the other half done before draft day.
We have heard nothing out of Washington regarding that two pick. Any idea what you think ends up happening there? Is it possible they could be talking with Minnesota about trading back, or do you think they may have settled in on Jaden Daniels and that's just that?
I think they've settled on a quarterback. I really think they're just trying to be as quiet as possible. And hey, you know what? If someone in the 3 or 4 range blows them away, if they can still get a quarterback at 3 or 4, maybe they consider it. But I just think this is an organization where, you know, the new regime, new ownership, I think they want to be kind of about their business as much as possible, try to stay out of the headlines as much as possible. And I just think logically, looking at what they've done this offseason with Marcus Mariota, I just think it makes sense that they draft a quarterback. And I would be shocked if we were sitting here the day after the draft and they did not have either Drake May or Jaden Daniels on their roster.
Bill, Chargers did some things because they were in massive, massive salary cap issues. They opted to restructure and keep both of their pass rushers and move on from a couple of receivers. What should they be doing in the draft?
I think you're looking at either trading down or drafting a receiver. Maybe it's Brock Bowers. It doesn't have to be a wide receiver. Certainly Jim Harbaugh, you know, Greg Roman, that offense typically features two tight ends. You want bigger bodies. You want guys who are going to be threats off of play action, guys who can block. Brock Bowers certainly seems to fit, you know, kind of the uniqueness of that Harbaugh-Roman offense. Could they be in the market for a wide receiver, of course, as well? But that's a position you can hit in the later rounds of this draft. I think, given that they had to make these major cutbacks, they move on from two wide receivers in Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. They give Cleo Mack and Joey Bosa basically salary cuts to stay on the roster, and then those guys are coming up for you know, the end of their deal soon. Max in his mid-30s. They could be in the market for Dallas Turner on the edge, too. I think they have to be flexible and consider trading down. But again, the question is there going to be a market? If J.J. McCarthy is still on the board at 5, there will definitely be a market for that pick. If McCarthy goes off the board at 4, someone could trade up for Marvin Harrison, but I don't know if that's necessarily going to be worth it for the Chargers if they want to get Bowers or someone like that.
Bill, great stuff. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks so much, guys.
That's Bill Barnwell, ESPN senior NFL writer and host of the Bill Barnwell Show podcast. You would listen to it if you're interested in, you know, getting smarter about football.
I don't think we have anyone at this company who is more efficient with their word usage than Barnwell. Like, everything Barnwell says has a point. It's either informative, insightful, entertaining, whatever it is. There's like no waste. He is the complete opposite of both you and I.
See, I would argue you. I don't think you're wasting any. Your big thing is efficiency. You live by efficiency.
In my life, you. But in my verbiage, I got no problem getting a few extra words out there here and there. If 4 words will do, I'll give you 7 to 8.
Well, let's get some words right now. Give me the tournament update and do it as efficiently as you can. Hit it.
NCAA tournament update.
All right, what do we got? We got 3 games going on right now. Michigan State, Mississippi State, BYU, Duquesne, Creighton, Akron underway, Joe.
Michigan State 49, Mississippi State 39. Creighton, Akron just tipped off about 7 minutes ago. Creighton 16, Akron 14. Duquesne, BYU at the half. Duquesne up 38-30 in what was a miserable shooting half for BYU. To the Michigan State, Mississippi State game, it's our first day betting alert. We played the over. Things are getting interesting here. Teams are starting to pick the tempo up a little bit, if you get what I mean. Here we go. Another break. Now we got to close this out, and it's a dunk. Mississippi State getting back in is going to be crucial here, because if it's a blowout, you don't foul late. We need it tight with all the fouls.
49-41. I'm not a mathematician, but if I do a little math, that gets us to 90, does it not?
We're moving. We are at 90 right now with a little over 11 and a half to go, and Mississippi State already in the bonus. What we need is everybody in the double bonus as fast as possible.
And what's the number we need to get to? 130?
130 is the number.
Okay.
The threshold, as they say.
Threshold. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. Russell Wilson is the Steelers' starting quarterback. Gave us a bad sign yesterday.
Oh, jeez.
Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Thank you. Russell Wilson signing with the Steelers.
Russell Wilson doesn't go anywhere that he doesn't think that he isn't going to be the starter. Now, he's going to have to go and earn it.
Don't be surprised if you see Russell Wilson out there cooking and saying, Steelers fans, let's ride.
Oh, God.
You excited? Steelers fan right here. Steelers fan number one, Chris Carlin.
I don't need to hear let's ride. Don't need to hear here we go. Listen, I am excited because I do think they're better. But then yesterday, you know what I hate? You know what I just cannot stand?
What's that?
The workout video.
Ah.
The workout video is just the worst.
Well, you made it clear to get it to all of us on the group message as soon as you saw it.
Yes.
Like that thing was just, take me through this for a minute for those who haven't seen it. Explain it. And then I'm going to ask a question in advance that you don't have to answer right away. Is that his home? Is that his property?
I don't know that, but I mean, there were palm trees everywhere. I'm not sure where that is. I didn't think it was his property. That's really what you thought it was possibly his property?
Well, he's got what appears to be a football field, but I don't know if it's a regulation size football field, but it's large. But right next to it looks to be some sort of guest house sort of situation. And when he bought his home in Denver, I remember reading about it. He and Sierra bought a massive property. I think it was like the most expensive property in the region or the state. It was some sort of real estate thing where I was looking into it. It caught a lot of headlines because it was like 20 bathrooms, 5 bedrooms.
Yeah.
And it was like, how the hell do you have 20 bathrooms, 5 bedrooms? And it's like, well, because you don't want a lot of people staying with you. It's like, well, why do you need 20 bathrooms?
You know what? It is his place. You know how I know? I'm watching it right now. His logo is in the middle of the field.
Yeah, see, that's what I thought. It's a beautiful property.
Yes.
That's all I took away from it. I was like, Russ is balling.
We can criticize him
all we want. He has a beautiful property.
Yeah, I thought it was just a regular place because it had soccer goals up. I didn't know he was a soccer guy as well, but apparently so.
Well, they got kids, so maybe the kids are running around playing soccer.
That could be.
You didn't think about any of this. You're watching this whole video. You didn't consider anything in regards to what was happening there.
Well, again, I don't think about kids because they ruin your life. I did not think about where he was. I just assumed it was some place in like, you know, in great weather in Palm Springs or something like that. But I did not see the logo before until you brought it up now. And his caption is, love the work, the best is ahead.
Yeah, there you go. He's trying to get people excited. He's out there putting in the work, getting ready for a big season with the Steelers. As a Steelers fan, why would you have a problem with this?
It's the concept of the workout video to begin with. Like we talked about this a few weeks ago. You know who's also infamous for this? Ben Simmons, where he is hitting threes left and right with some creative editing here.
Shirtless.
And there.
Always shirtless. Always shirtless, covered in sweat. He's putting a three up, and everyone reacts. It's like, you know what? Simmons is looking good. This could be the year. Spoiler, it's never going to be the year for that guy. Ever. Get over it.
So it's not necessarily Russ. It's the concept of putting up the workout video to begin with.
Yeah, but I mean, okay, Tony Romo goes to, what was it, Cancun or Cabo on the bye week. Everyone gets mad he's on vacation.
That's true.
Now we got a guy working out here. You're mad at the guy working out.
I'm not mad at him. I don't need to see it. We can all work out without having to see it. That would be my only point.
That's not how society works in 2024. You go to Costco and eat samples. You film it. You put it up for all of us to see. If Russell Wilson's watching that, he's probably thinking, why is this guy going to Costco telling me about the samples he's eating?
Because I relate to the average person.
Yeah. And Russ relates to weirdos. I'm just kidding. It was a low-hanging joke. For anyone who's going to get mad at that, I'm just kidding around.
No, but listen, they are better at the position because of what they had before, and I am very interested if Russ is in the mental headspace of really having to prove himself, which I think he probably is. But what's really interesting that I don't think a lot of people are considering is something that Adam Schefter said this week on NFL Live, ESPN senior NFL insider, on Russ and what happens if, even though they say he's the starter, he doesn't win the job.
They can appoint Russell Wilson the starter. They can say Fields is the backup. But the fact of the matter is they have the luxury of letting this play out during camp and doing whatever is best for that football team. There's no commitment, obligation, loyalty to any one of these guys. They didn't pay very much for either one of them. I even had an executive say if Justin Fields had played him, Russell Wilson during training camp, they could see Russell Wilson then moving on from him before the season. Like, there's a whole range of possibilities. We know that Russell Wilson goes in as the starter, but again, they're going to let the competition play out and we'll see where it goes.
Well, this is where, first of all, this is where Kenny Pickett was just being a baby. Like, if you don't see the forest for the trees in all of this, you're just not paying attention. And that's why he's gone. And also because of what happened with the Mason Rudolph stuff when he kept the job when they were winning games. It doesn't mean a thing when you just say it. And I'm sure they just said it to Russ to get him to sign there. You say what you have to in the moment to get the deal done. You know, isn't that a premise of whenever I'm trying to sell something, that's what I'm trying to do. I'll tell you whatever you need to hear, but let's get it done. And I think that's probably what they did with Russ in this spot. And if they don't think he'll be a good teammate as a backup or a guy that'll be content in that spot, then they will just move on from him.
He's had to prove himself throughout his career. It's not like he was a first-round pick. North Carolina State basically told him to take a hike. They said they were moving in a different direction.
Insane at the time.
Yeah, he went to Wisconsin. He went to the Rose Bowl with the Badgers. Then he gets drafted by Seattle. He had to beat out Matt Flynn, who came over on that like two-year, $25 million deal, whatever it was, after that big Week 17 for the Packers in substitution of Aaron Rodgers, who was getting some rest that week, if memory serves me correctly. So he had to win that job. And then, you know, he goes on to contribute to Super Bowl win, appears in another game. You know, it didn't go right in Denver, but I don't think he's afraid of competition. Schefter's right. Like, you can cut bait and move on quickly, but if I were the Steelers, I would be looking to take advantage of the situation I've created, which would be let Russell Wilson start in week one. Mm-hmm. Unless he's hurt or he looks awful or has completely packed it in, which I don't think that's in his nature, then I would let him start. And I'd let him go out there and do whatever it is he's going to do. If it doesn't work out, you can turn it over to Fields, but build the hype up for Fields a little bit. Like, if you cut Russ before the start of the season and Fields is your guy, pressure's on Fields right away. If you go with Russ and he struggles and you eventually transition to Fields, people will be more willing to give Fields some latitude because they just watched a quarterback in Russ not play well, after a quarterback in Kenny Pickett didn't play well, after Mason Rudolph didn't play well, after Ben Roethlisberger at the end of his career didn't play particularly well. So I'd almost kind of play some politics here and set the situation up nicely from a marketing standpoint so that your quarterback's entering a favorable situation rather than one that's, you know, rife with pressure right from the start.
I got to tell you, just on a separate note, in the middle of watching the Patriots, the seven-parter, 10-part dynasty thing, and yesterday I watched the episode where Russ throws the interception in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It's still just mind-numbing, that play call in that spot. It's unbelievable that they did it. And Malcolm Butler, one of the few interesting things I've taken out of it, Malcolm Butler basically says, yeah, Russ kept looking over in my direction. He's looking once, he's looking twice. And he goes, why does he keep looking over here? He knew it was coming. Unbelievable.
Mike Lombardi wrote about this in his book, and if you ever get a chance to talk to him, it's a great story. The Patriots from the end of the previous season were basically working on that play defensively. The goal line where you need to defend the pass, but you can only have, you know, you can't just have four guys on the line because then they can just run it up the middle. They were working on that. They were looking at people specifically to play that position. They were watching Pete Carroll on the sideline. And when Pete made a certain decision late in the game, they sent Butler into the game because they thought they knew that was coming. It is a masterclass in coaching and preparation. Mike, it's called Gridiron Genius, I believe, Mike's book. And there's a good section in it. It is fantastic to go through what went into that play.
And Butler, if you remember, had given up that juggled catch to Curse a couple of plays earlier and thought he was done for the game. And then they called his number and said, goal line with three corners. He was as surprised as anybody that he was in at that spot.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.